Hello everyone, welcome to Lexicon, the podcast brought to you by Interest in Engineering, where we explore the latest in all things engineering, science and tech. Gilly Ovadia, the Vice President of Bionic Hive, is joining us today. Now, this startup was once hailed by Elon Musk as the robot future, due to how they're leveraging these orange and black robots called squids to automate warehouses. But before we get into how these futuristic smart machines work, if you haven't already done so, please remember to subscribe to our newsletter, The Blueprint, for the latest on innovations, delivered to your inbox 6 days a week. Now let's have a chat with our guest, Gilly. Hi, Gilly. Could you just provide an overview of what Bionic Hive does and its mission?
Sure. So Bionic Hive is basically an entire solution that utilizes the intelligence of humans with the efficiency of robots. And we are providing an end-to-end automation solution to any supply chain or logistic environment built for human labor. We are basically deploying a fleet of robots that are connected to our own algorithmic AI engine and can automate any environment, that whether it's a warehouse or supply chain environment.
Yeah, thank you. And is there anything to the name Bionic Hive? Like, what's behind it? Is there anything like of importance as to why you chose that name for, you know, the automated warehouse robots?
Obviously, we believe that the robot could work as a fleet, and that's the idea for the Hive. And okay. Bionic is just because we believe that they are quite bionic with the the way they operate. The name of the robot, by the way, if we're talking about the name, is Squid, yeah, which is basically one of the only animals in the nature with two hearts. So this is to allude to the redundancy of the solution and the fact that it's really hard to kill an animal with two hearts.
Yeah.
So this is the squid. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So squid, it's not standing for anything. It actually just means squid then.
Correct. Yeah.
That's okay. Thank you. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the fundamental tech behind the squids? You know, what enables them to carry out their function seamlessly? So obviously you mentioned that you've got AI. Could you just tell us a bit about that and any other tech that is incorporated in the robots?
Sure. So our R&D department is composed of four main departments. The first one is the algorithmic engine, the one you just asked about. Mm-hmm. And this is basically a server that interfaces with the IT system of the warehouse. On one hand, get all the mission, all the tasks from the original WMS or IT system of the warehouse. On the other hand, it basically orchestrates the entire fleets of robots, and it learns the activity of your warehouse. So let's say you have the trucks coming by 10 a.m., it will make sure to be done with all the peak tasks by 10 a.m. Let's say it has a pallet that blocking one of the aisle, it will instruct the robot to bypass this specific aisle until this pallet is removed. And so on. So it basically learn the ongoing operation, but also anything that happened that day or that hour. So it learns all the time and basically adapt to it. Let's say you want to do all the replenishment for the morning after at night. So the server will instruct the robot to do all the replenishment at night. So this is one department. This is the department that is basically in charge of the entire real-time traffic management algorithmic engine, and that's the brain of the entire system. Then there is the robot, and the robot is autonomous robot that could basically navigate within the warehouse, whether it's a dark warehouse or a brown one, and basically it could interact with human being and navigate, and it has a obstacle avoidance ability, and it could bypass anything that it could see. It had the classifier to say whether it's human being or it's a object that is there for like to stay, and that's basically allow the robot to navigate within the warehouse. So this is the robot software. And then there's the third department that is basically the engineering, the one that is in charge of all the hardware, the arm of the robot, the tray that could rotate that and could load and unload from both sides, the arm that I mentioned before that could reach double and triple deep and conduct stow and pick tasks. And basically all the hardware, just think about it, it would be easier to understand. So this is the third department. And the fourth department is the electronic, the one that basically all the chips that this is the brain of the robot that allow it to run the engine, the gears, and so on. So these are the four main departments within the R&D or the technology division of the company.
Yeah. No, thank you for explaining. Just to kind of go back to the squids and like how they sense their environment, are these like sensors already incorporated in the design, or could you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. So the robot is equipped with a fusion of sensors. The one that I mentioned before, the navigation one, is a combination of a LiDAR and Vislam. That basically use a cloud of anchors to navigate and find its way. So we map the entire warehouse before, and then we can the robot knows where it is based on coordinates. So this is with regards to the location and mapping. The robot is also included with an optical sensor that allow it to read the barcode, the QR code. On the package, it could even read handwriting and basically understand what it says. So that allowed the robot to verify that it picks the right package and basically eliminate any errors that we human being could do with pick with putaway. So the robot always verified that it picks the right package that it was instructed to pick.
Yeah. And can you just tell us a little bit more about the design concept of the squids? Like, are there certain aspects of its design that enables it to kind of, you know, contribute to the effectiveness and how they navigate these warehouse environments then?
Yeah, so a couple of philosophical, if I could use that word, concept that were guiding us why we build this robot. So one hand is the... And maybe the most important one is flexibility, to really allow the operation manager to support multiple use cases. It could do pick, put away, replenishment, as I mentioned. It could do cycle count and inventory management. It basically could take the package directly from the truck all the way to the picking model, or from the picking model to the racking shelf, or from the racking shelf to the shipping area. Basically, it could support any type of use case, and the flexibility is really the main thing that we see. Another philosophical or fundamental concept that we had is the ability to work alongside human being, not being separated or caged. You see a lot of great automation solution, but they have to be caged or separated from the human being. So our design is really to work alongside human being. And this is really important, because if you look on the warehouse market in the US, you would see that 80% of it is built for human being or human labor. And the human factor is really important. And that's why we see hundreds and or dozens of billion dollars invested in automation solution in with one main goal, to reduce the labor component or the human labor component in the warehouse. But you actually see that this phenomena is of labor pickers are being increased. And we believe that the main reason for that is that the flexibility of us human being is really needed, and it cannot be eliminated quickly or easily. So this is a really important, the combination of these two factors flexibility alongside working with human being, these are really important concepts of the design of the robot.
Yeah, thank you. So can you just provide like a few examples of like any specific tasks or operations, you know, within warehouses that these squids are, you know, excelling at? Like, what are they proving most helpful for in the warehouse?
So I would say the one that I mentioned, the pick and put away, these are the immediate or the most clear use case and replenishment. So some warehouse managers tell us, hey, we have the robot that could run on the floor. Are you a competitor? So we say, no, we actually could complement them just by replenish those robots and let them run on the floor. But we are the only one that could actually climb to any point with no height limitation, but can also run on the floor. There's a lot of robot that could climb, but they're not driving on the floor. And there are a lot of robots that are AGV and AMR that run on the floor. We are one of the few or the only one that could actually combine both capabilities.
Yeah, thank you. And just to kind of get an idea as to how these robots can adapt to basically any kind of warehouse environment, how are they retrofitted then?
Yeah, so this is a great point, and this is one of our, I think, most important sales point, that we basically can adapt, this is the word you use, and I think it's a great word, to any warehouse. We don't ask you to change your material flow. We don't ask you to change your racking shelf. And this is a really hard point for the warehouse manager that we talk to understand. They always ask me, okay, so tell me your material flow. I said, no. You tell me yours, and we will accommodate or we will adapt to your material flow. And there's no change. We basically retrofit the entire warehouse in a matter of days just by mounting our rails. And there's no welding, there's no drilling. We just mount the rails on the existing warehouse, on the existing racking shelves. And there's really hardly to no change at all. And it's that there's no downtime. You can basically keep on your operation. And then we retrofit to your entire warehouse, and it's completely automated in a matter of days.
Yeah, thank you. So obviously, that's definitely you know, one of the main points as to what separates you apart from other companies offering automation. Are there any other benefits? Any other advantages that sets you apart from other companies in terms of like these robots and how they're basically contributing to automating warehouses?
So I think it's a combination of some of the things I mentioned before. First of all, there's no need to change. We adapt to yours. A lot of the other solution ask you to change your entire material flow, and then after 2 years, if you want to change anything, you kind of locked into that. So this is one. Second, the flexibility that I mentioned before. We can support multiple use case, multiple workflow, and this is really great. Another one that I haven't talked about is the really quick ROI that we are offering. We are talking about return on the investment in the matter of 10 to 15 months. Obviously, we need to learn your particular use case, but the return on the investment is really quick. Another big thing is that is a huge pain for warehouse manager or for supply chain manager is the storage. They want to store more and for the same real estate. So our all operation allow you to set up in what they call VNA, very, very narrow aisle methodology, that basically allow you to store more for the same real estate. So this is another thing that we could support. And that's without even talking about the actual maximizing the utility within the bin. Just because the robot could set up the box within a given bin. Think about Tetris, if you remember. So it's a really complicated task for us human beings to set up a three-dimensional metrics of a bin, but the robot could really maximize just by rotating the box and find the right spot, where to locate it, how to retrieve it, where it was based. That saved a lot of time and money. And this is another area that we help to the warehouse manager or the operation manager, just by storing more for the same real estate in two layers. One, just setting up the rails or setting up the aisles in a way narrower distances, but also within on the bins, maximizing the package that you could basically store them. So these are, I think I mentioned four: flexibility, quick ROI, increase of the storage, and the ability to seamlessly adapt to your operation or your current existing warehouse.
Sure. Yeah. So from my understanding, so can like basically companies just like have the, well, they can recruit these robots on a subscription basis, or how does it work in terms of like actually getting those robots into the warehouse?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think we were quite unique in that sense. I think a lot of companies are talking about the RAS model, robot as a service. But we one of the few that actually operate with it. And the model that we are talking about is what we like to call services-based. And the idea is that we are charging per transaction. Transaction, in our definition, is when we move box from point A to point B, and that's a transaction. Mm. We would make sure that we will be profitable, or we will generate saving from the very first transaction, meaning if your current transaction cost is $1, we will charge you 70 cents. So basically from the very first transaction, you're saving money. Mm-hmm. And you pay us per transaction. And we ask for a minimum of transaction annually, let's say 500,000 or 2 million transaction for the entire warehouse, and we will charge per transaction. Obviously, the robot could walk around the clock. So it's not just that we are lowering the cost of the transaction. We actually help with the productivity boost. So we can, based on dozens of business cases that we've conducted, we've shown that we can increase the productivity in about 25% at least, just because the robot could walk 24 hours. The robot doesn't need to take day off. They don't. Being late to arrive to work and walk around the club. This is go back to what we spoke in the beginning. This is the fleet of robots. I mean, you could either add robot if you have like a peak season, if you are like Christmas area and you have a peak, so you can add 10 robots, and then there's a lower time you could reduce some of your fleet, and it's really scalable, and it works in a very modular and easy way to the operation manager. And this is something that I think is quite unique. And they don't own the robot; they don't need to care about it. They don't even lease or the robot. They just pay for actual value that we are delivering. So this is something that operation manager could really relate or connect to. Because they only know that they pay for something that they get. They don't pay just for the robot sitting in their parking. If the robot are not really actually working, they don't pay for it. So,
yeah, thank you. So you mentioned like a fleet of robots. Can they actually communicate with each other?
Of course, they can communicate with each other. They know where each one is located at any given time. But they could, and this is the more important, that they can actually connect with the server, with the RTTM that I talked about before, if you remember. And that's why I use the word orchestrating. Because think about it as a big, big fleet that knows where each one is at, and they know if they're going to have a peak time, so they know to swap the batteries in advance and make sure they're all ready to go. By the way, this is another really cool technological component that we have. The robot or the solution is equipped with what we call ABR, automatic battery replacement. This is a station of battery swap, and whenever the robot is predicting that you're going to run out of battery, it will go to the station, and within a minute or so, it will automatically swap the batteries, and it will be ready to go. And more than that, if you know that it's going to have a peak, the battery is still in 60%, but there's going to be a peak time, and the expectation is for the robot to walk around the clock, it will know to do it in advance. And this is, by the way, another patent of our company, the energy consumption prediction model. We have a lot of patents. This is one of them.
Mm, very interesting.
Thank you.
So how long does it need to be charged for it to operate? Well, for a certain amount of time.
So it really depends on the actual task, how much of the task is just driving on the floor or climbing all the way to the top. Obviously, the climbing requires more energy. What is the load that it needs to carry if it drive with a very light package or a heavier one? So these are some of the factors that really influence the energy consumption. But the battery could charge. It's typical batteries that that we all use for our own consumer device, like drill or anything that we also do. And so this is something that is really easy to get. It charge, and there's always like couple of batteries packet in every station. So while one set of batteries are in the robot, the others are being charged. So it basically works around the clock.
Oh, thank you. So just like I'm basically imagining like the robots going up and down, like climbing and walking along the floor. But then just to kind of think about how do they actually grab, they grab objects like, you know, parcels and goods. How do they do that?
So the tip of the arm is currently have a suction cup. Okay. Rubber suction cup, and these suction cup are attached to the package, and basically could handle the package, any size of package, or not any, but I mean, a good 95% of the package of the current package in a warehouse, and just by sucking them, and then once it wants to let go, it just release the suction, the air suction in the suction cup, and then the robot, the package is basically released. But we can support anything from a very small, like, I don't know, 5x5x5 box all the way to 24x16x24 inches. So,
yeah, so basically they will have like one hand, or they'll be connected still like to the mount, and then they'll have like one hand with the suction holding the actual good. And is that correct, or is there somewhere they store it?
It's actually two suction cups, on the tip of the arm, just imagine two rounded rubber suction cup, and they are attached to the package, and they either pick or put away it by using the air suction.
Okay, thank you for explaining. So just to kind of get an idea of where these bots are coming in useful for, you talked about like them basically handling 5x5 parcels. So what kind of companies are needing these kind of robots? Because, you know, obviously we have bigger parcels in different companies, and then this is more like a small to medium sized parcel that it can, handle. So where is the most interest coming from in terms of these robots?
So it's actually really diverse. We work from the pharmaceutical to the fashion industry, all the way to automotive and other industry. I mean, you would find that most of obviously we won't be able to carry a bath size, where the majority of the packages that are in the U.S. market, at least, are within the dimension that we could carry. And it's multiple industries. 3PL, this is one of them. 3PL are basically the third-party logistic player that run a lot of their warehouse operation for a lot of companies. They really like to work with us because they have, like, rotation of customers. In one day, it could be Nike, and then the other way it could be, I don't know, eyeglasses company. And then the flexibility that I talked about before that we offer really serve them well, because they don't need to change anything. But they just use the change the operation of the robot, and then we could still service their customer.
Thank you for explaining. Do you see like the squids working beyond warehouse automation?
Oh yeah, definitely. The squid could work on a manufacturing site, taking the materials. It could work on a last mile environment. DCs, wholesale. Just any work that is currently being done by a human being, you know, using their hand, using our hands, picking or put away the packages. So the warehouse is just our first step as a company, because it's easier, it's quite defined, but the goal is really to operate wherever there's like logistics and mobilization of packages and so on.
Okay, and just to kind of get an idea of where we could kind of see Bionic Hive going in the future with these squids, can you kind of, to wrap things up, give us an idea of what we can expect from the company going forward?
I cannot. The only one I could disclose right now is Maersk, that we are completing our pilot with. And Maersk is the biggest shipping company of the world, but they also functioning as a really big 3PL here in the US. So we have the robots are running in a warehouse in Los Angeles area, but we also have our second installment starting last month, actually, in a very big logistic company that we all know, but we cannot disclose the name. And we are aiming for the third customer, and this is in the pharma industry space, and that will be done hopefully by the end of this quarter. So we'll have three different customer or commercial deployment towards the end of the year. In that sense, we are really privileged. Do you want to?
No, nothing. I just wanted to kind of get your idea on what we can expect from you. So thank you for elaborating on that. Was there anything you wanted to say? Because obviously I've asked you many questions, but just so that our audience understands how significant the, Bionic Hive robots or the squids are. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to that?
No, I was just about to say that we are quite privileged where we don't have any or hardly marketing budget, and we are privileged to get inbound requests from the biggest companies in the world, really the biggest logos of Fortune 500 names that reach out to us from multiple industries, manufacturing, chemistry, automotive, pharma, fashion, really all of them reach out to us and asking for a demonstration. And the burden is really on us to be able to manufacture the robot, to deliver the solution, and that, and this is a really great place to be, and we are really privileged. We are backed by Amazon, by the Industrial Innovation Fund. This is a $1 billion fund that was established by Amazon a couple of years ago. We were one of the first five investment that they made, And the vision of this fund is to really identify the unique technologies that could be beneficial and strategic for Amazon, but for the entire industrial sphere. So we're very fortunate to have them as one of our partners.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us on the Lexicon today. And that wraps up our conversation today about Bionic Hive and their squid bots for automating the warehouses. We hope this was an interesting topic for you, and if you've any questions, reach out to us on our website through the contact form. Stay in the loop with the latest in engineering and technology by following our social media accounts for inspiration and updates. If you're as passionate about engineering as we are, consider subscribing to our IE Plus premium newsletters for exclusive content and in-depth analysis. But until then, see you next week.